Hello there, my name is Carol Gillis. I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and I'll be speaking with you today on ultrasound basic physics. But before we get started on our physics, I'd like to show you some pictures of Halifax, Nova Scotia. And this is a picture from Citadel Hill in Halifax, and you can see the water just in the distance over here. This is the beautiful waterfront in a summer afternoon with lots of tourists, and people can stroll along the waterfront. It's a great place to go for a walk or a run in Halifax. We also have a ferry. It's part of the Metro bus system, and it ferries people back and forth from one side to the other, and also some tourists are on the Harbor Hopper, which takes a dip in the harbor and also around takes people around town. So it's lots of fun activities for families. But today we're going to talk about basic physics. I'm going to talk about what is medical ultrasound, what is the nature of sound, what is or how is an ultrasound image generated, and just some common terminology around ultrasound. This is an ultrasound system that we would use in the hospitals, and I'll speak in some detail about that, some of the knobology a bit later. So ultrasound is an imaging modality where high-frequency sound waves are used to generate images of inside the body. Pulses of ultrasound at specific frequencies are transmitted into the body by a transducer, and this same transducer will actually detect echoes from those structures, and they're registered in the ultrasound system. So this is an image here just showing the transducers. There's a sending of these pulses out to the reflector, and then the echoes return to the transducers where they're registered as images, which you can see right here. The image is generated, and it's commonly in what's called a linear or a sector format. The first one here is a linear format, and this is a sector or a pie-shaped image at the bottom. So ultrasound imaging is used to assess organs and soft tissues, joints and tendons, the heart, brain, blood vessels, to assess the fetus and obstetrics imaging, and to guide procedures as well. Audible sound is between 20 and 20,000 hertz, and that's what we can hear. You can hear me speaking at frequency in that range. Ultrasound is beyond that, so it's beyond 20,000 hertz, and infrasound would be below 20 hertz. So sound propagates in the form of waves, and they're classified as mechanical waves. So there's an orderly cyclical mechanical vibration through a physical medium. And the propagation, the way that the sound travels, is almost like a slinky. There's areas of compression and refraction. And again, the direction of the propagation is in that same as the wave travel. So these cyclical variations are referred to as particle motion, pressure, density, and temperature. And you can see this within this wave at the bottom. So these sound waves, again, have these areas which are compressed and areas which are less dense or not compressed. And this is just represented on this sine wave here, where you can see this is shown as a form of a sine wave. So frequency is the number of complete variations or cycles per second that happen. These are the units in hertz, and we commonly use hertz, kilohertz, and megahertz when we're speaking about the frequency of ultrasound. Frequency is determined by the crystal thickness within the transducer. So if you have a very thick crystal within the transducer, this would be a low frequency transducer. And these are better for deeper penetration into tissues, but there's not as good a resolution. Higher frequency transducers are very thin crystals, and they have much better axial resolution, but there's a decreased penetration depth, or it doesn't go as far. And I think about this as like a wine glass. A very thin wine glass has a very high pitch. If you click a wine glass, you can hear a very high-pitched frequency. So it's the thinner the crystal in the transducer, the higher the frequency and the better the resolution. These are different types of transducers, and there's different transducers depending on what type of exam is going to be used. The first one here, the curvy linear, would be used for an abdominal scan. We do endovaginal scans for the uterus and the ovaries. This transducer, a phased array, is used for cardiac ultrasound, and the linear here is used for major blood vessels, such as the carotid artery. These are the typical range of frequencies used in imaging applications, and you can see it's anyways from 2 to 3 to 15 megahertz for the different type of exams. And you can see as you come down to something like an eye, it's very superficial. So we can use a higher frequency because there's not as much depth that's needed. Propagation speed is the speed with which the sound travels through a particular medium, and it's usually in meters per second or millimeters per microsecond is the units that are used. And it's determined by the medium that the sound is traveling through, depending on the density and stiffness of that material or medium. The range equation in ultrasound is used, and if we know the propagation speed multiplied by that pulse round trip time, that's how it's determined what the distance is to the reflector, and this would be similar to sonar. Echogenicity, when you see images, we use the term echogenicity, where you can see an area that's very bright or white, that's hyperechoic or echogenic. Hypoechoic is like a darker gray. Anechoic means without echoes, and it's black, and you would see fluid as this. And isoechoic means the same echogenicity as adjacent structures. Display modes are commonly referred as B mode or M mode, and B mode stands for brightness mode. So you can see just on this image here of a heart, anything that's bright or a strong strength would be shown as white, and black would be anechoic as well. So brightness and anywhere in between are shown on this B mode image. Another display mode commonly used in cardiac studies or to show the fetal heart is M mode, and that stands for motion mode. And basically it's detect any motion along a scan line, and you can see the green arrow pointing to the scan line, and the image is showing how the heart muscle is moving, and that can be measured from those images. There are artifacts in ultrasound, and that's why there's a good understanding needed of the basic physics. And this is just showing the acoustic shadow. On the first image, you'll see it's of a gallbladder with a gallstone in the middle. And if I can move over here, you'll see that this right here, there's the shadow. And so this is a gallstone sitting within the gallbladder. The second one here is a bladder stone. You can see the bright area, echogenic, and beyond that is the shadow. So that's referred to as an artifact, and sometimes artifacts help us because we're able to detect some of these structures. Acoustic enhancement is another artifact, and again, this is a cyst that you'll see here, the black area here, the large black area is the cyst, and beyond that, what we call is acoustic enhancement, where you see the echo amplitude behind the structure is actually seen to be enhanced because there's no attenuation through the cyst. This is the Doppler equation. The Doppler equation at the top here is 2 times the operating frequency times the velocity of the blood flow multiplied by the cosine of the Doppler angle and divided by the C as a constant of the propagation speed in soft tissue, which is constant at 1540 meters per second. So we use Doppler in ultrasound. It could be an audible signal, a spectral display, or color Doppler, and this helps us to assess structures. We do as well have artifacts in Doppler, and this has shown a common artifact of aliasing, the most common artifact in Doppler. And this is where there's insufficient sampling, and instead of showing a proper display, a spectral display here, it looks like wraparound. And so this is something that is commonly seen and recognized as an artifact. And that's the presentation today on the basic physics, and I'd like to thank you for your attention this afternoon.